This was when the railroads were built and when Wall Street emerged. It was when industrial manufacturing started in earnest. It was when all the rules by which the traditional economy had functioned were broken and remade. What that list says is that it really matters how old you were when that transformation happened. If you were born in the late 1840s, you missed it. You were too young to take advantage of that moment. If you were born in the 1820s, you were too old. Your mindset was shaped by the pre-Civil War paradigm. But there was a particular narrow 9-year window that was just perfect for seeing the potential that the future held. All of the 14 men and women on that list had vision and talent, but they were also given an extraordinary opportunity. In the same way that hockey and soccer players born in January, February, and March were given an extraordinary opportunity. So let's do the same kind of analysis for people like Bill Joy and Bill Gates. If you talk to veterans of Silicon Valley, they'll tell you that the most important date in the history of the personal computer revolution was January 1975. That was when the magazine Popular Electronics ran a cover story on an extraordinary machine called the Altair 8800. The Altair cost $397. It was a do-it-yourself contraption that you could assemble at home. The headline on the story read, "Project Breakthrough, World's First Minicomputer Kit to Rival Commercial Models." To the readers of Popular Electronics, in those days the Bible of the fledgling software and computer world, that headline was a revelation. Computers up to that point had been the massive expensive mainframes of the sort sitting in the white expanse of the Michigan Computing Center. For years, every hacker and electronics whiz had dreamt of the day when a computer would come along that was small and inexpensive enough for an ordinary person to use and own. That day had finally arrived. If January 1975 was the dawn of the computer age then, who would be in the best position to take advantage of it? The same principles apply here that applied to the era of John Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie. If you're too old in 1975, then you'd already have a job at IBM out of college, and once people started at IBM, they had a real hard time making the transition to the new world, says Nathan Myhrvold, who was a top executive at Microsoft for many years. You had this multi-billion-dollar company making mainframes, and if you were part of that, you'd think, why screw around with these little pathetic computers? That was the computer industry to those people, and it had nothing to do with this new revolution. They were blinded by that being the only vision of computing. They made a nice living, it's just that there was no opportunity to become a zillionaire and make an impact on the world. If you were more than a few years out of college in 1975, then, you belonged to the old paradigm. You had just bought a house, you're married, a baby's on the way, you're in no position to give up a good job and pension for some pie-in-the-sky $397 computer kit. So let's rule out all those born before, say, 1952. At the same time, though, you don't want to be too young. You really want to get in on the ground floor, right in 1975, and you can't do that if you're still in high school. So let's also rule out anyone born after, say, 1958. The perfect age to be in 1975, in other words, is old enough to see the coming revolution, but not so old to have missed it. Ideally, you'd want to be 20 or 21, which is to say, born in 1954 or 1955. There's an easy way to test this theory. When was Bill Gates born? October 28th, 1955.